Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus as we get into your word, you would help us. We all understand that it's the entrance of your word that brings light and life. We pray, God, that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will shine bright in here today. Help us see you, see what we need to learn and grow from. We bless you and we thank you now, Lord. Think through this mind, speak through this mouth. Let the words of our mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in our sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer, and every glad heart say amen. Amen. Welcome, congregation, to Bethel today. Welcome, Upper Venue. I love you. I wish I could be sitting up there with you, but I cannot. Those watching online, we love you. We hope that God does something supernatural to touch you today. Today's subject matter is our natural family, and it's Genesis, it's beginning. And today I'm going to, you know, be talking about what it means to be married, what it means to be single, and pre-adventure, what it means to be divorced or overcome divorce. But today I want to start out by asking a question to the audience, and it can be at an Upper Venue. I can see you. I cannot see you online, audience, but here. If you've been married for just 1 year, raise your hand. Just 1 year. Thank you. Go put it up. Don't be ashamed. Put it up. Praise. They want to. Okay. All right. That's good. Come on. Y'all can do better. That's 1 year. All right. Five years. Raise your hand. 5 years. All right. 5-year-olds. In between 5 and 10. Hmm. 15. 15 years. 19 years. 19. All us, 19, baby. 19, holla. 20. 20 years. Yeah, 25 years. Oh, I see you in Upper Venue. 25 up there in the firm. 30 years. 30. Uh-oh, 30, any in Upper Venue? Yeah, a 30 in Upper Venue. Okay, a 30 back. 35. Woo! I got 35s down here. Any in Upper Venue? Raise it high, wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it. Okay, got one in Upper Venue. All right, got to keep going. 37. I'm going to skip 37. 37. 36. Oh, they oh, that whole time. Okay. Anywhere from 38 to 40 years. Okay. Okay. Anybody 45 years married? Anybody 45? 44. 43. 43! 43. All right. All right. So today, if you don't mind, because you've been married 40, is just, Is 43 the top? Is anybody above 43 years in the entire building? Oh, God. How many years?
I'm Diane's father, and I'm here
49
years.
48 years. 49. I'm corrected. Is your spouse here right now?
No, he's taking care of my
granddaughter. That's okay. That's okay. All right, I need, because you're going to win a prize to come up here with me. Okay, so anybody that's 48? 47, 46, 45, 44, 43. Is your spouse here? Okay, 42, Y'all, come on, 40 Hill, give it up for him right there, 40 Hill. Come on down. Come on, you're a part of, give him some encouragement. Come on, you're in it. Now, 42 years ago, they were part of a ceremony that started something like this. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today in the sight of God and all of these witnesses to join this man with this woman. Marriage is an honorable estate instituted by God and is therefore not to be entered into unadvisedly, but soberly in the fear of the Lord. And into this honorable estate have these two come to be joined. Who gives this woman to be? No, I didn't want to go that far. Now, as you see, in marriage, they both start as singles. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing needed, fully equipped by God, fully satisfied by God, whole. Two people, by choice, decide to take their life and now stand right here. You know, it's amazing how if they look to each other to function as one, something can go wrong. But when they look to God and they're connected and God's connected, makes one flame. It's unity. You cannot tell the distinction between any of the flames. They all burn as one. This is his desire. This is his plan. It's still a whole person. It's no, oh God, no. God, I mean, see. Jeez. That's why you tell people in the back what you're doing before you start, you know? He's still a whole person. That was awesome. Okay. He's still a whole person. She's still a whole person. But guess what? In God, they are one and there's no distinction. This is what God is trying to achieve. There is nothing wrong with being single and with God. Your fire still burns. But you're significant. But God also has a special place for people who will unite with him for his plan for family, which is marriage. Come on, give him a good God bless you. We're not going to blow it out. Now look, no, don't blow it out. Y'all hold hands and go and walk down back to your seat there. Pastor Mike, will you get this lovely couple? No, we're going to come this way. Come on, right here. Will you get this lovely couple a gift? Because they just took their time to come on down here. God bless. Thank you. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 19, let's go to Matthew 19. And we're also going to go to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 5. And let's begin reading and seeing who God has made us. It's people who have the opportunity to become married, but people who also have the distinct privilege of being single. Yeah. It's a privilege. And what the enemy does to give us a divided heart, either to divorce God or to divorce our spouse and God. And how do you avoid that? We have ministers and ministries here today that we're going to line right up in front. So whether you're a single or a widow or married, we have ministry or divorce. We're going to have ministries here for you today. And you're going to be asked some questions today, not to hide from each other, but to just be right out in front and let God love us together. Okay, verse 3. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him, asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Can you get a divorce for anything?" Is irreconcilable differences a real reason to get a divorce? By God, not law. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You see, God had the idea that a single male and a single female could have the opportunity to come together. They had the right equipment. They had everything necessary to become one. He established from the beginning that it was going to be something sanctified only for a male that is going to be with a female, or only something for a female that was going to be with a male. God is establishing it, not to make anybody feel bad who feels different, but to give you the borders, not to make you a prisoner, but to give you what you can and cannot do so you can enjoy it. Amen. Verse 6, so they are no longer two but one flesh, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. This is what I say at the end of every wedding, what God put together, what God put together. God does not want us to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, neither does God want us to just marry outside of his will. But even if you do marry outside of his will, he honors it. But he does want to be involved with it. The first male was presented a female by God. God did not show himself absent from the beginning in the genesis of the family. God showed himself available and initiating what the family should look like from the beginning. So you have to ask yourself the question, whether you're a single, are you offering up beautiful people, successful people to yourself and from your friends and your mama and them? Or are you receiving it from God? Who is leading you into these relationships that you say are good for you? Who's presented it? Because I know the devil can present a certain look to a man that can make a man say, that's it right there, Lord. There's certain things you can present to a female from an earthly perspective that makes, yeah, I'm in. But God was the presenter. It's still his will. And when he joins it, he doesn't want it to be separated. If you join it, he doesn't want anybody to separate. It's going to be fun today. Don't worry. Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. It is not God's design for us to get a divorce. But when there is an innocent party and there's a particular sexual sin that happens, God says if that innocent party can't find it in themselves to reconcile, if they can't find it in themselves to forgive, I will give permission for it to happen. But it's not his will, because he says the only reason that you even need this provision is because of hardness of heart. The core problem is your heart became hard. The core problem is when we stood up there and the preacher says, all right, repeat after me. I, James Lowe, take you, Debbie, to be my lawful wife, to love and to cherish. From this way, for better or for worse. See, when we say the worst part, whoever is standing there thinking about the worst day, in fact, you actually saying, I know mine will never do that. Because if they're going to do that, I'm not even going to stand here. But what you're saying is, if this person does something outside of their godly character, then I'm not running. I'm staying in it. I have the right to run, but I'm going to stay there. I want to run, but I'm going to hold on. God's given me a way out, but I'm going to reconcile. Because I'm not going to allow my heart to become hard. Because even if I take advantage of what God has given me, which is an out, my heart is still jacked. And that's what I've got to fix in order to live again. If you are divorced, there's so much hope left for you. And I know the enemy tells divorced people, well, that's it. It's a wrap. That's the one thing you can't do and never be good. Sorry. You're out. That's a lie from the pit. Is this God's design for you? No. But is your life over? Absolutely not. So come on out of depression. Come on out of inferiority complexes. Come on out of all of it. Because the love of God is here to meet you. So I'm gonna do something that I did in the last service, and I'm going to do it in this service. And it requires us to be a family and to be mature. It requires us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It requires us not to be judgmental. In the same way I ask people to raise their hand if they were married in the length of time, maybe you're here and you are separated from your spouse. Maybe you're here and you are one step away from divorce, or you have received the papers already. Or the words have come out of your spouse's mouth and you guys have been suffering with it in silence. You won't tell anybody. And you've made this silent agreement with one another to just go down in flames, but go down as quietly as possible. But yet God has designed this church as a place of healing. It would be silly to be in a hospital and feel the symptoms of a heart attack and say, well, I don't want nobody to know because I want them to believe I'm strong. I don't know why you ended up where you are. It doesn't even matter. But if you're brave here today, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to acknowledge yourself. And when I count to three, if you feel you fit the description of somebody who is separated, on their way to a divorce, you've received papers already, the word is flying around in your house, I don't care where you're at, in upper venue, online here, I want you, when I count three, I want you to raise your hand. And one of you is going to be selected couple to do an illustration, because we're going to fight as a congregation for your marriage right now. Not by asking you any questions, but right now. So if you fit that description, and we know we're here. When I count three, I don't want you to hesitate. I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. And if I can get a husband and wife that are here right now who raised their hand to come up. I need one couple to come up. Come up here right now. If you raise your hand and your spouse is here. If you got some turbulence, you can come up. I mean, I'm not nervous to wait on you a little bit. Here's what I will show you. Honey, you come be my person. You be kind of black, I'll be white. I'm a little lighter. That's why I got the right color. All right. When we came in this marriage, we were two individuals, whole, having God, having everything we need. But when we got married, oh, that was silly. Yeah. We're going to pour this in at the same time, and I just want you to see what's happening, and then I'm going to say something. Come on. Hold it for me because I'm ready. You can step in front. You see? Well, I didn't pour that good. There you go, that there. You see, you can still see who we are as individuals, but yet we have mixed the sand in a way that it would be extremely difficult to pull it apart. In some ways, our life is much more complex than the sand. And when you unite two lives together by the Spirit of God, it becomes very difficult to pull them apart. The reason that it's difficult is because God doesn't want them to be apart. When God says two become one, that means to be welded together. That means to be inseparable. That means to be united in such a way where you are not going to be separated again. So whatever turbulence you're going through, for those who have raised their hand, whatever pain that you've experienced in your life that's making you think that it's all over and you need to give up, there is still a power that's available, and it is the power of God's miracle of marriage, that it is He who is helping two people become one. And He ties you together in such a way where it's extremely difficult to pull apart. And He is still the miracle worker that can hold you when you cannot any longer hold yourself. He can still give you hope against hope. He can still give you a future when you feel that there is none. So until it's happened, and even after that, reconciliation can still take place, until that, God is able to keep that which we commit to Him. And when you got married, this is what you committed to Him. This is what you gave to Him. We're up here to beg you, don't give up. Beg you, don't give up. We beg you, don't give up. Thank you, honey. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7. You know, y'all remember my story about Tracy? You know, after Tracy disappointed me, I decided I'm just going to let relationships go. And it wasn't because I no longer viewed them as the blessing that they are. And I was being single but bitter, single but disappointed, single but discontent, single but not trusting God, single but stuffing it in people's face. I can stay pure. I can do all that. I was single angry, single with a chip on my shoulder. That's not the way God wanted me to be. You might be in here today and feel like we spend so much time talking about marriage. What about the single people? I'm going to help you today, because now, after 2010, for the first time in history, only 48% of this American population is married. We actually are not the majority married folk. And that's because somehow we have lost the understanding of what God has done, like the scripture said, from the beginning. And it is something that He didn't mean to start and stop. It's something that He was trying to give as a gift to children and a gift to, He's trying to give a man a helper. He's trying to give a woman a covering and a protector and a security. Here's how the scripture says it in 1 Corinthians 7 and 1. Now, concerning the matter about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. He had just been talking in the previous chapter about what the purpose of your body was for, and he said it's not for immorality. He said just like the food is for the belly and the belly is for food, he's giving that there is a reason. He says the body is not designed for immorality. It's not designed to be joined with a prostitute or a harlot or someone you don't have a covenant with. He said the body is first for the Lord. If you are a single person, the first person who possesses your body is the Lord. When you are married, it is the Lord who gives you a portion of His Spirit in order to become one. It is still about the Lord. It is about the Lord. So the reason that we don't violate our bodies is through sexual immorality, through violation of a covenant with God, and then a violation possibly of a covenant with another human being, is because it does not amplify the purpose of marriage, and God does not want us to do it. But because of temptation to sexual immorality, each should have his own wife and each her own husband. In other words, look, he's making a distinction. If you have this urge, if you have this need, and it's not going away, don't worry about it. If you're a man, you need to get your own wife that is a female. If you're a wife, you need to get your own husband that is a male by chromosome. Praise him anyhow. And saying that does not disrespect those who are disillusioned about what the truth is. We just hold to the truth and we lovingly bring correction to those who think opposite without making them feel like the scum of the earth, just make them feel like they need to be redeemed. Praise the Lord anyhow. The husband should give to the wife conjugal rights. Praise God. That's what I'm all about, conjugal rights. It's my right. That means it's legal. In marriage, it's legal. Tired of all the single folks and immoral folks talking about conjugal rights. I got rights for conjugal rights. Conjugal. Boy, I done quoted that scripture more in my house than any other scripture. I got a right. Every man is saying, man, I'm glad he showed me that verse. Oh, God. Men sitting up now. I got something to preach when I get home. Normally riding home quiet. He going to be talking today. For the wife does not have authority of her own body. But the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Wife was saying last service, well, I don't want that body. Get that body. Men, just work on our abs. That's what we got to do. Just don't worry about it. Just say, I'm a washboard. I'm coming. It might take some time, but I'm coming. Verse 5. Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. You might devote yourself to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see, your eyes in marriage are exclusive. Your desire in marriage is exclusive. So if you want to know whether your marriage is in trouble, it's when your eyes and your desire go for any other thing or human other than the one you have a God-given covenant with. It doesn't matter. Okay, maybe it happened by accident. You didn't notice it. But when you notice, I like to talk to them on the phone more than I'd like to talk to my wife. Oh, I'm looking forward to going to work to see her, but I am not looking forward to coming home and seeing my wife. Something is wrong. I can correct that. Notice he's ruling out all same-sex relations. He's ruling out polygamy. A man get his wife. He didn't say his wives. Because I heard some people the other day saying, well, you know, there's some laws coming that can make it good for everybody. I said, what you talking about? I said, that's not going to be better for you. Because God from the beginning said male, female, one husband, one wife. See how he's establishing it? So it doesn't matter what the world does to pervert what's going on. It does not change. Amen. All right. Single folks, God loves you. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. Paul is saying, I wish everybody was like me, single. Like Jesus, single. There in Matthew, another place it says that there are some people who are eunuchs by birth. That means that from birth, they don't have a sexual urge that would drive them to want someone in a covenantal way or otherwise. There are some who have, Bible says, been made that way through maybe a medical problem or maybe something happened in their life in a very painful way that took that ability away. The third group, the Bible says, have been made eunuchs or those who would remain alone because of the kingdom. That means they're so focused on God that they would rather do the kingdom work than and display God in their single wholeness than they would to do the work of displaying God in a marriage covenant of God's commitment. Remember, Genesis 1, 22 through 28, that he says, in the image of God created he them. Then he explains it. Male and female created he them. And he blessed them. And he said, prosper. First words to him. You can do that as a single person or married. Rule. You can do that as a single person or married. Then he said, reproduce. Well, you need some help. Fill the earth. You need help. Two things you can do exclusively as a single, an additional two things you can do if you're in a marriage. But the Bible says that the married man cares for the things of the Lord and the things of his wife, how he may please her. Where the single person only cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please him. So the unmarried person who is content with what God has done in their life can prosper, they can rule, they can lead, they can live a quality life, even if they never marry. If they have a sexual urge, it's not going away. I would take that as a sign. You're probably not a spiritual eunuch. You need to make yourself available. Well, let me rephrase that. You need to be open to God showing you a spouse. Okay? When I'm going to end with this. I'll say something briefly about the word. I want to end with this story that when I got Tracy out of my life and I was committed to just being single, I didn't know how long it would take. I no longer cared. I had never been with a woman. I was still a virgin, and people were making me feel bad about being single. And I was thinking, I'm satisfied. I'm not even looking for anybody. I'm satisfied. And I remember in my single state, people making me feel so bad about either being single or not being immoral. I couldn't win on the church side. I couldn't win in the world side. I was strangely someplace that wasn't celebrated. And you know what I decided? I'm not going out like that. So I said, I'm not trying to make other people feel bad, but I'm going to start making God's real way known. So I went in. I remember when I announced it. I said, all y'all that were trying to get me married, I'm not ready. All of y'all, immoral. Let me tell you what God has asked me to do. Hold up the V. That's for virgin and victory. And I started doing this In every place I went, I'm holding it up and I'm letting my God know I'm available as a single to honor you. I'm letting myself know I've got to keep myself unto sanctification and honor as a single. I got to be focused because I'm committed to being a good single. I'm letting other people know if you want to interact with me and that's your ungodly intention, go on, stay back, because I was violent, not physically, with my words about people who approached me wrong. Well, you know, James, what's up? Well, what's up? Because you can't play with it, guys. You can't say you're going to stay moral and somebody flirt with you and you say, yeah, you know, hold on, stop that. No, back up. I don't know what you about. Hey. Joseph ran. Run out your clothes. Do what you got to do. You have to know that story when I said run out your clothes. So that's the Bible story. Stand to your feet. I start holding it up. And you know what I received? Because I wasn't making my stance as a single with God hidden. I start being strong and bold. Maybe you're in here today and you don't have that testimony that you are a V. I'm not greater than you. If you will turn from what you were and ask God to make you new. He can reclaim your mind, your spirit, your emotions. I've even seen him heal people's body up because he's supernatural. Maybe it's your first day of saying, I'm a V. Doesn't matter. Say it. But being single is of God. Being married is of God. But when you cross over and you say you're married, he does not want you to separate. If you have, your life's not over. If you have for a legitimate reason, God's going to send you love again. If you have not, if you separated for an illegitimate reason, repent and see what miracle God might bring. I'm closing this service in this way by saying this church, Pastor Mike, come stand with me. This church is committed to seeing you healed, not just pointing out where you're wrong. We want to show you where the grace of God will meet you in your most broken condition. Doesn't matter. He actually still wants that single relationship with you alive. And guess what? You came in this world single. He loved family enough to put you in one. But when you leave as a single, getting married to him. I mean, that's just deep on another level one other day. Pastor Mike is going to conclude with this type of altar call. I left you 1 minute.
Nothing like 1 minute. Up in the upper venue, if you, just some of the ministry team could just go down front and be ready to minister. But I wanted you guys to see. Come on over here, Richard and April and Gabe. Come on up. You and Danielle. And Carol Harris is here, I think. Carol. You see Miss Carol? Where's Carol Harris? She was here. Come on, Miss Carol. I just want you to know that we have a tremendous team prepared to minister to you and to strengthen you. We believe in marriage. We understand that it gets messy sometimes. So my wife and I lead the whole family ministry, in particular marriage ministry. And if that's you today and you say, you know what? I realize today that I need help. I realize today that I don't need to stay the same. We have a team and we're just the leaders that we represent a whole army. Whether it's in the singles community with Gabe and Danielle, whether it's with divorce care with Richard and April, whether it's with widows with Miss Carol, or Christy and I can help you today with Randy and Patty out in India, can help you today get the help you need. In the upper venue with our great ministry team and Pastor Justin there, you guys can connect. What we want you to do is not leave here today struggling in any one of these areas and not engage the ministry that God has given you as a family, all right? So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to dismiss, and we'll just come down here, and we'll be here as long as you need to get the help you need today and then plug you in for long term, whatever it is that we can do to help you and serve you as a family. Is that good? Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for our 20 years of marriage. We thank you, God, that it's not always been great or glorious. God, we thank you for the church family that have been there in times of desperate need. And Lord, we thank you that in this house, God, we care about people. We thank you for them, God, the singles in this house, part of the singles community. God, today, let them be energized by their purpose and calling. And marriages, God, let us contend for marriages, God. Those that are widowed, God, we pray a special blessing over them. You say pure and undefiled religion is widows and orphans, God, and bless them today. And those that have not had the best side of marriage and gone through a divorce or difficulty, God, Lord, let them know that you're not giving up on them, and we as a church are not giving up on them. Thank you for Richard and April and their ministry, God. So, Lord, we thank you for this church. When we say we are family, we understand sometimes family is a mess. But, God, today we'll look for you, Jesus, to clean it up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please come down front in the upper venue. Please go down to the altar. God bless you. Have a great day. Make sure you get your T-shirt out under the T-shirt tent.